This is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Day you'll ask me nothing. You won't approach me. And he redirects them. Where? Well, verse 23 continues. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. So, Jesus tells them to go directly to the Father. You talk to the Father. And then he says, until now, you've never done that. You've never gone to him in my name. And they never had, right? I mean, this was the God that they were afraid to approach. They were scared to approach. And now he says, now, just like I went to the Father all the time, you go to him. You go.
We all know the importance of prayer, but sometimes it can feel like your prayers are falling on deaf ears. In today's message, Pastor Troy shows us to pray according to the word itself. You have an advocate with the Father, and he allows you to approach him boldly in a time of need. You can go to him now. You don't need a man on the mountain to speak with God anymore. He made a way to meet with you, and he wants you to go there. Don't quit. Keep going and pray with expectation. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of John chapter 16 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in John chapter 16, verses 23 through 28. We'll talk about some keys to using knee mail. You know, Fortune magazine did a study in 2018 that revealed the average person in the United States spends at least or more than 5 hours each week managing email. That form of communication, information, processing it, typing it, all of that stuff. The average person, over 5 hours each week. That's about 43 minutes per day. And that number, that average per day, goes way up if you factor in texting and other forms of social media that might be used to communicate. So 43 minutes a day on email, we'll do that in order to communicate effectively, to keep things flowing, keep things moving and the process going, right? Sadly, the average Christian in the United States spends between 3 to 4 minutes a day in prayer. And that was on the high end of the average. That was what was classified a good day, 3 to 4 minutes. Oh, and that good day, 3 to 4 minutes, is not 3 to 4 minutes at one time. That's the sum of the day. So, oh Lord, just bless this day. Thank you for this food, Lord. Oh, it's bedtime. Now I lay me down to sleep. 3 to 4 minutes is what we give the Lord a day. That's how important that form of communication is. Now, I'm sure that you spend some time in email if you have to move anything along, maybe even texts, which have become the new email. They were supposed to be brief, but now you've got to pull over to the side and like read the texts, you know, if you're in a vehicle and you're not even driving because you can't when you're driving. So you're the pastor going, hold on, this thing is long. So we spend a lot of time trying to communicate. Tweeting, it's communicating. And I always, when that first came out, I thought that was one of the more selfish forms of communication because that's all about what I'm going to say. Tweet. You don't get to respond. You can either like it or not, pass it on, but that's all about me. But I want to ask you this, Christian, do you spend quality time in all of your forms of communication? Do you spend quality time logged into your Gmail account? Do you spend time praying with the Lord? You spend time with him. Yeah, it's what we might call an old school form of communication, but it's still the best form and the form that generates the best results. So today we're going to talk about some keys to using Gmail. You know, whenever you mention prayer, you usually get one of a few reactions. One is guilt. So right away, hey, we're going to talk about prayer. Oh, pray more. Oh, I already know. Message over. They know. I got it. I got to pray more. Another is fear. Oh, no. prayer. He's going to want me to pray in public. I got to pray with my family. I got to pray out loud. And we can fear what that means. But a third and a major one is you come and you go, oh man, a message on prayer. That's boring. Boring. I had to come on the day of prayer. And the reason that so many will see prayer as boring is because they find no real value in stopping what you're doing, ceasing all progress, and actually praying, spending time in communication with the Lord. And it could be because they don't really see that it changes anything, that anything results from it, especially if you just kind of ramble on, you know, oh, Father, thank you for this day and this, and you know, and whatever, thanking him for this and the dog, and then amen. And then you could go, yeah, prayer doesn't really do anything. So they'll say it's boring. Well, may I suggest one prayer? I mean, fervent prayer before the Lord is anything but boring. It's satisfying. It's helpful. It's good. It's anything but boring. So may I suggest this, that maybe prayer is not boring. Prayer is boring. The person praying. Maybe the person praying isn't really seeking the Lord for anything. They're just kind of rambling on. They're not genuinely opening up their heart. They don't have something they're actually saying. They're just kind of, it's time to pray, and so I'll just spit out whatever comes from my heart and my mind at the time. And they really don't have something they're talking about. Or you go somewhere and you find that prayer is, it seems like nothing more than a way for people to tell you about what's going on in their or someone else's life, like we saw in the little video. So they start to pray, oh, Father, you know my Aunt Jenny. Aunt Jenny was yelling at my mom the other day, and my mom reacted this way, and she put the burden on me, so I got this burden now, Lord. And everybody's there going, this is not prayer. This is like gossip. This is just her talking. And you go, I don't want to go to prayer. Prayer can be kind of boring. You know, one of the most exciting things and most refreshing things is to listen to a new believer pray. Young, new believer. See, they think you got it all figured out because of the Christianese. The Christianese. Father God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, your word says in John. And then we go off and we tell him what his word says, and we preach to him and preach to them. And by the time it's over, it wasn't really a prayer. It was a service. We go from you, Lord, to talking to them. And people go, I don't want to go to that. But a new believer, they don't know about all of that. A new believer is very simple. They will grab hands and they go, God, this is Bob. I don't really know how to do this, but you're awesome and I could sure use some help. And they share their heart. And as a Christian, you go, they're thinking, oh, I wish I could pray like you guys. You're thinking, God, help me to go back to praying like that. Saying what I mean, saying what's real and genuine. See, they're not focused on the eloquence or even all that may be into it, or the words or the scriptures that they bring up. They're just sincere and humble in their approach to God. They'll ask him anything. God, help us to get back to that place of praying. In our text today, Jesus speaks about talking to the Father, praying. He's already spoken about prayer back in chapter 14, and he brings it up again. And so what we want to do is we want to collect these things. You don't want to just take one passage and make your whole judgment about prayer on that. We need to collect these things, collect these ideas, these teachings, these suggestions from Jesus about what it means to pray and what it is, compile them so that we can understand. And the reason I believe that Jesus is going back to talking about talking to the Father, to the disciples, is because he is going to be leaving. Remember, he's talking to them about leaving. I'm going to be gone. And so he keeps talking to them about talking to the Father. Here's why. It'd be like you, if you have kids and they've always been with you. They always had access to you. They always talk to you. How are things going? You're right there together. But then one day happens, one day comes, and it's like, I'm going to leave my child for an extended period of time. And so I'm going to give them something they've never had, a cell phone. And so what I want to do when I go away, and I go, here's the cell phone, I'm out of here, because can they use it? I want to make sure they know how to use it. I want to make sure they know my number, that they can get to me. So I will explain to them. I will help them understand how to use this thing that I'm giving them, because it's so important to me. That's why this subject keeps coming up for Jesus. This is so important to him. Everything's about to change. So the first key to using an email we find in verse 23. And in that day, Jesus says, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. The first thing we want to understand, if we're going to have an effective prayer life, is that we need to be confident. We need to be confident as we approach. See, as a child of God, you can be confident that you're able to approach God with anything. Why? He just said. Four times in these verses, Jesus repeats the word ask. Ask. Ask me. Ask the Father. Go to the Father. See, you are important to him. And everything in your life that you struggle with is important to him. You are never a bother. Never. Nothing you have to bring up. If it just brings you to him to talk, that's good enough for him. You bring it to him. Because he says, ask. It's that word ask is a word that means to inquire about something or to request something from a superior. So the idea is he knows he's God, knows he's got everything that we need, and he knows down here we're helpless. So the expectation is they're going to ask. They need to. So what are your needs? Do you even know what they are? What do you really need? Ask God. Ask God about them and don't think anything is too small or too dumb. Oh, speaking of confidence, you can go directly to the Father. You don't have to go through anyone else. That's what Jesus is saying here. Check this out. Verse 23, and in that day, you will ask me nothing. In what day is he talking about? The day when Jesus is gone. He's no longer with them, physically with them. They won't be able to go directly to him like they always have, right? Jesus was there. They always went to him. Hey, Jesus, what do we do? How do we get this? How does this happen? Where are we going? What's up? What did you say? So they went right to Jesus. And so he says, in that day, you'll ask me nothing. You won't approach me. And he redirects them. Where? Well, verse 23 continues. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. So, Jesus tells them to go directly to the Father. You talk to the Father. And then he says, until now, you've never done that. You've never gone to him in my name. And they never had, right? I mean, this was the God that they were afraid to approach. They were scared to approach. And now he says, now, just like I went to the Father all the time, you go to him. You go. And he says that your joy may be full. Why would their joy be full? We'll mention a couple of things in a minute. But basically, because they thought they were going to be without him, without that strength, without that advantage. But he says, no, no, you're going to have it. You're still going to have it. And so your joy doesn't have to be lacking. It can still be full.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There, you'll find an archive of previous messages from the verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the books of the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website, again, is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the teachings of this program, and we pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid rock.
Some background. It was believed then, and even is still believed by some today, that if someone had a higher position religiously, that they had a better in with God. So if I go to this person, their prayers will be higher on the list. Well, God's up there going, oh, prayer request, a pope, number one. Another prayer request, Troy. I'll get to it. And then so they saw it that way, that he's busy. I mean, you know, we kind of try to project onto God our limitations. And so because of that, they would go to others. Hey, will you pray? I know your prayers are heard. But what Jesus is teaching them is this. The same access that I had when you saw me, I would go to the Father and you know I had an audience with the Father, that same access you have. That was what Jesus came to do, to give access back to the Father. So he tells them that your joy may be full. That's what Jesus came to do, was to restore unto us a joy that we have in a salvation that allows us to have a relationship with the one true and living God. So we have access directly to the Father. That's the idea behind Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, question. Now, this question is one that I have known individuals who walk with the Lord 20 years didn't know the answer to it. They never thought about it. I knew it. I heard about a teenager who asked his pastor this question. And the pastor, unfortunately, said, I don't know. It's a good question. And it's this question. Who do we pray to? So, who do we pray to? Well, the answer is clear according to Jesus. We pray to the Father. Jesus set the example for us. What did he do? He always prayed to the Father. Also, when they asked Jesus, Jesus, teach us to pray, he said, Our Father who art in heaven. And then we have the early church and their example for us of the direction of their prayer. There was one instance where the disciples had been preaching in the name of Christ. So they preached him, and then they were taken. They were told not to preach in his name anymore, beaten, and then let go, said, don't ever do that again. Well, they went, and they wanted to pray for help, for boldness, for the courage to continue. And so in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, we see their prayer. We will show it. You can look there yourself if you want to. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, Why did the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, he's alluding to Jesus, speaking to the Father, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Who did they pray to? They prayed to the Father, God, the Father. See, anytime we have need of provision, any provision, the scripture teaches us to direct that to the Father. The Father is our provider. He's like a father. That's what the Father does. And so we seek from the Father. He provides. And we can go before him with confidence. Now, here's another question. Is it okay to pray to Jesus? Well, yes. Because one, he's God. So he is God. So don't think that if you go, well, all right, Jesus, I really need some help and I need provision. And then, amen, you walk away and go, oh, no, I sent it to the wrong person. It's not like God, the Father is up there going, man, they missed. The prayer didn't get to me. Well, man, we got to teach them a lesson. You know, I gave them the rules. So he's not up there doing that. But they're teaching us to relate to God in the proper role. He is our Father. The Father is our provider. Also, when it comes to salvation, it's in the name of Jesus that we are to call upon, right? So we don't go, Father, save me. Father, save my friend. Father, no, that's the wrong direction for that conversation, because we're to call on the name of Jesus, because the Father will say, I did. I sent the Son. Now go to him. And so it's in that situation that it is appropriate that we are talking directly to Jesus. In Acts chapter 7, we see a circumstance where Stephen goes directly to Jesus, even though it's very brief. He was being stoned to death by the religious leaders, and as he was about to die, he's looking up and he sees the heavens open and Jesus standing right there. And he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He didn't say, Father, there's your son. Father, receive me. No, he talked to Jesus. Jesus is right there. He's there. Talk to him. In 1 Corinthians It opens by identifying the believers as those who had called upon the name of the Lord, speaking of Jesus. At the end of Revelation, it's been talking about the second coming and all that's going to unfold. And at the very end of talking about all of that, it says, "Come, Lord Jesus." So you're not going, "Father, send Jesus again. Send him for the second coming." No, it's, "Lord Jesus, come. We're ready." So yes, you're talking right to him. But most of everything that we will go to the Father for, except for, "Come, Lord Jesus, hurry up," is going to be, "I need, I have a need." And it's for that that we should learn to direct it to the Father. Jesus came to open the way, to pay the way, so that we had access again to God and to God the Father. So learn to talk to your Father who is in heaven. So come to him. Oh, third, so we have the Holy Spirit. Is praying to the Holy Spirit. Okay. In the scriptures, well, first, if I use my first answer, it's he's God. So we sang today, "Holy Spirit, come." But there is no precedent set for talking to the Holy Spirit in the Bible, nowhere. No one ever addresses the Holy Spirit, which really emphasizes the Holy Spirit's role, which is to be anonymous, to do the work, and to point to Christ, to lead all people to Christ, not stop people focused on what he's doing, but on the one he's pointing to. So the work of the Holy Spirit is always to point and redirect to Christ. So for the most part, since we will spend most of our time asking for our needs, "I need strength, I need help, I need provision, I need direction," whatever it is, we should be taking our heart before the Father. Verse 25, okay, so that's be confident. We can come to the Father with confidence. Verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name," and check this out, "I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you." That's interesting. So here Jesus is saying that in that day, when that happens, you won't come to me. I won't be, you know, you come to me and I go to him for you. That's not the way it's going to work. I won't be praying to him for you in the sense that you came to me and I'm delivering your message. That's not going to happen. You're going to go straight to the Father. Now, what does that say? If Jesus is saying that about himself, what does that say about those who have stacked up for themselves saints to go through? Right? Saints to go through. So I'm going to go through Mary, and then Mary will get to Jesus. Well, Jesus just said, "I'm not going to carry the message over to you. You got direct access." So then go to Mary. She's going to Jesus. He goes to the Father. Saying, "No, you know, that's not the direction. Go to the Father. Go straight to the Father." And he says, "I'm speaking in figurative language right now so they can understand," really clearly defining the roles for them. But he says, "Later I'll be able to speak to you plainly about the Father." Why? Because later on they would have the Holy Spirit and they would have a much greater understanding of how all of this is working and what's going on. Then they will get it. See, we're New Testament believers. So we can look back, we can study this and kind of understand and go, "Okay, I see." So for us, when we approach the Lord, if we want to have a healthy prayer life, we need to, one, do it with confidence, be confident, but two, we also need to approach with intelligence. We need to be intelligent. You mean my IQ? I mean, I can only do so much about that. I'm not talking about brilliance. Sometimes the most brilliant people in the world are the furthest from the Lord because they think they've got it figured out and they're wrong. So I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about your SAT scores. We're talking about engaging your mind in the activity of prayer. Come with substance. Think. Be intelligent.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the book of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that ever lived. Join us then, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.